This episode of the Nationwide Podcast is brought to you by the City of Bridgetown Cooperative Credit Union Limited. Welcome back to another episode of the Nationwide Podcast. I am your host, Ashida Joseph, and here with me today I have Melinda Peter, and she is a financial consultant. Melinda, thank you so much for joining us here today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you as well. So today we're going to be focusing mainly on your financial consultancy business. So could you give us a bit of background of how you got started and why you got into this business?
I sure can. So most people think that my degree is in finance, but it's not. Because I always had a passion for computer science and even the 3D art, you know, the 3D animation rather. And my degree is in computer science and management. So the first job that I got was at a law firm, and that's where I became the accounts officer. But truthfully, finance was the last thing on my mind because I was not really good at subtraction. Well, I was in primary school, don't tell anyone. And when I started dealing with the application at that time, because it was a desktop version, QuickBooks, I saw how I was able to apply my computer science knowledge and merge it with finance. And I fell so deeply, madly in love with accounting, believe it or not, because I thought it was that I had to have a really great grasp in numbers that I should be in this field. So I was there for 2 years, and then I transitioned into working at the offshore bank at that time. And I was there for about 5 years, and I saw how the financial crisis at that time would have affected a lot of people. And I saw that there was a niche that I could really help people make better financial decisions with information. But the first business that I started with was an accounting business. And then it so happened that I ended up being on a segment on Morning Barbados. And the host used to call my segment Money Matters with Melinda. So that's how it came to be. And I just ran with it. So that's how I came into the finance field. So I have been in this field since 2005, which would be about 20 years. I won't tell you my age, but yeah.
Well, that's very inspirational. Now, could you tell us about the Navigating Your 20s series that you would have posted on your Instagram page?
I sure can. So I felt very strongly at the beginning of the year to really look at the whole idea of dynamic financial planning. What does that mean? It just simply means that you are essentially planning for different stages in your life. So I felt it very best, my team and I, to start with the 20s, which is foundational in that, you know, you are now trying to figure things out. You have probably got your first job, right? And it's a very special season in which you are able to lay a foundation. So I thought that we would start with our 20s. We're now presently in our 30s, and we'll be going on to the different periods.
Yes, please. And in that series, we spoke about budgeting for young professionals. So how important is that for someone now entering the workforce?
I can give you a personal example of mine, because I wasn't always disciplined with budgeting. So when I got my first paycheck, I was like, ooh, money to spend. Yeah. So I was in town every Saturday spending money like no tomorrow. I mean, at that time, I was living with my parents and they didn't have any major responsibilities. But I remember that it was like close up to the beginning of the month and there was no money. And I'm laying down in my bed in tears. And I'm like, Melinda, how could you spend all of your money like this? And then I realized, okay, you know what? I need to develop a certain level of discipline as relates to managing my finances. So I opened my laptop and I used the Excel spreadsheet. I'm an Excel nerd. And I decided that I was going to budget. It was not the most helpful thing for me. I thought it wasn't helpful because I'm accustomed to spending like there was tomorrow. But my excuse was is that I worked so hard. I got my degree. So you know what? I would just spend like there's tomorrow. I'll do whatever I want. But no, I had to develop a certain level of discipline so that I can get from point A to point B. So even at this time, it's really important to exercise discipline. Yes, you now got money. Yes, you can spend money on your friends and all that stuff. But this is the prime time to really lay a very solid foundation because you have a lot of time on your side. And the earlier you do it, the better.
I think it's important that you say that because, like, for me and other young people, we love to treat ourselves. And sometimes it's hard to really think about saving back extra money for a rainy day. So what would you advise, you know, the younger people to do to enjoy life but also still be financially responsible?
Start your day with the Nation News e-paper. Enjoy the accessibility and new upgrades of the Nation News e-paper daily, whether on our mobile app or Nation News website. For added convenience, use our new audio read feature, which reads the newspaper aloud, or look in the archives for any publications you may have missed. Get your news, your time, your way with the Nation News e-paper and enjoy our new upgrades.
I mean, life is about balance, isn't it? And I am a very strong advocate about enjoying what you work for. It just can't be bills, bills all the time and responsibilities and, you know, a lot of debt on those different things. But I mean, you can make room in your budget to have some fun, right? Go to the movies, go to dinner, whatever you feel like, something that is over like a period of time you have to save money towards. Yeah. So if it is something that you're looking to do that's really large, like going away and travel or those different things, or, you know, the different events in our calendar year here in Barbados, what you want to do is that you want to set aside money monthly towards that, so that by the time the event comes here, you have an accumulated amount of money set aside in order to do that, something called like a sinking fund. Yeah. So it's not necessarily you're saving money to invest or you're saving money to buy a home, but it's like you're setting aside money to spend. So that's what you can do.
Okay, so we're going to kind of shift the gears a bit and we're going to move on to building credit. Mm-hmm. And how should one go about doing that as a young person?
So when you come out of school, right, it just so happens that you become on the radar of different financial institutions. When I first came out of university, somehow they got my number, right? But this is the key time to be really smart in terms of accumulating debt. Yes, it's important to have record of you actually meeting those payments and especially meeting them on time. So if it is that you're looking to go for a vehicle, you're trying to build good credit, I would recommend saving the deposit because you don't want to be paying the full price of the vehicle. If you're looking to go into a higher purchase, pay it off as soon as you possibly can. The minimum amount that you pay is not necessarily the total amount that they're going to put on that payment, but you can pay more than that. If it is that you end up renting somewhere, that's a way in which that you build credit as well too, because people do background checks on you just to see how you're spending your money. Even as it relates to credit cards, you can be strategic with that. I know that there are people who actually take a particular credit limit amount. So the financial institution will want to tell you how much that they want to give you, mm-hmm. how much credit they want to give you. But you can say, okay, you know what? I only want $1,000 limit so that, you know, you can max it out if it is for particular expenses. And then by the time that payday comes around, you could pay it off in full and go again. What I'm trying to say is that you do want to bite off more than you can chew, but you want to work with a particular amount of credit that works for your budget. And even in that, in terms of a debt service ratio, which tells you the percentage of your income that is tied up in debt, 40% and under, because you want to be able to accomplish other financial goals. So you do not want to take up too much of your salary with too much debt.
I think that's very important, you know, the way we manage our money so that we can have enough for the particular things that we have to do. Now, an interesting point you had on your social media was financial red flags to look out for while dating. Ooh. So what are these red flags? And should finances play a role in your love life or should it not?
Okay. So that came to mind, and I think it's something that, you know, we should be on the lookout for no matter our age. Finances do play a big part, especially if it is that you're looking to enter into a long-term commitment like marriage, right? And it can be a source of joy managing finances, but it can also be a source of frustration, all right? But there are particular red flags that you want to look out for. And it really comes down to your mindset, right? So if the individual all of a sudden wants to know all of your financial information and you've only been out for one date, hello, I wish we had a red flag for weed. Right. So you want to make sure that you look out for that. Why do you have to divulge your personal finance information so early on? Unless it is that you're entering into a long-term commitment, like I said, like marriage, those are the things you want to look out for. How is their spending? Not that you are looking to pry into their information, but it can be telling the way in which they live and their habits and their spending. Are they spending more than they actually have? Are they spending just to impress people or to fit in with a particular, you know, crew, if you see what I'm saying? So those are the particular things that you need to look out for. Are they selfish? Are they willing to share with you? Are they willing to work with you? Those different things, because you have to be very, very cautious. Because if you think that by entering into a long-term commitment like marriage, that they're going to change, they're not going to change. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a source of frustration. Is it that they had conversations in the home about money, communicating about money, right? If one person is accustomed being in a home and in an environment where money is discussed, well, they are going to be forthcoming. But if the other individual has not had that conversation, well, then they're not going to be that transparent with you. So those are the particular things you want to look out for. And I'm not saying that, oh, it is, and you're going to make six figures and you have to do all those things. I'm not saying that. But it's just one of those really fundamental things as it relates to relationships. If you realize that there are financial red flags in this individual, no, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're willing to change and it will get better. So you want to be very careful.
Yes. I like that you pointed out those red flags, because in relationships, finances tend to cause a lot of turmoil.
Oh, yes.
And it always needs to be a balance, you know, when managing the money and how the money is spent on bills and utilities and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to investments and side hustles.
Yeah.
So how does one enter these spaces in order to see the positive outcomes?
Okay. So as it relates to investing, all investing is that you're multiplying what you have in order to earn. I do not think, especially in this current economic environment, that you can just be comfortable on one salary alone, right? You need more than one source of income to help you along the way. There's rising food prices and all those different factors, which I will not get into right now, right? But so you want to be looking at what you can do in the short term. And often I say your natural abilities are what could earn you income. So if you have a natural ability of cooking, let's say you're good at baking, you can sell cookies or cupcakes or anything that you're good at doing. If you're really good in the kitchen with respect to seasonings, you could sell that. If you're good with hair, you can braid hair. If you're not so product oriented, what you can really look at is offering services. So if it is that you're really great at admin, then you could provide that service to a small business owner who may be looking for someone to help streamline their process, because we are too busy. There's just too much to do. Yeah. And sometimes we need somebody who could help us with all the paperwork that we're not so really fussy about. All right. So different things. If it is that you bring in things to sell, merchandise, merch, that's something you could look at. So if you're looking to do long-term investing, because we just talked about short-term investing in terms of different services that you could provide, in terms of the different products you could possibly provide, merchandise and those different things. So when we are talking about long-term investing, we're talking about things like shares. So we do have the Barbados Stock Exchange here, and they have companies that are listed here, and you as a shareholder could receive a percentage of their profits in the forms of dividends. So you can go through an investment broker. They do have them listed on their website. So there was one that I went to in particular. I did my research because it's really important to look out for these different things, especially for companies that you're looking to invest in. Is it that they are displaying their financial statements in the newspaper? Are they letting people know about the performance of their company? are they also having annual general meetings so that, you know, they can communicate to their shareholders what has been happening for that financial year. And with respect to the financial statements, yes, are they actually issuing them? But on top of that, are they audited, meaning that there's an independent body or an independent auditor that's actually reviewing the transactions that they have and confirming that everything that they do is above board and legal, okay? And so what you want to do is to invest in, I would say, like some companies that have been around for a very, very long while. So that means that they're actually being profitable. But at the end of the day, when they do announce that they are issuing dividends, then based on the amount of shares that you have, depending on the price that they are, you will get a nice return. But it's not something that would actually be material, meaning that is a lot of money that you will get. So over the long term, what you could do is to invest money over that time so that by the time retirement comes, you actually do have some form of money invested so that on monthly or quarterly basis, you will actually be receiving your share on profits. Now, you do not want to put all of your money in one company solely. You want to diversify. And then even so, you don't want to put all of your money in shares. You could also look into mutual funds as well, too. It's very well diversified. Let's say, for example, there are mutual funds that are set up that actually invest in property. So you do get a return as well, too. I think there are mutual funds that start at $100 that is required or $500 that are required. And then there are monthly amounts that you can put towards that. So that's something that you can look at in the long term, especially in your 20s, look into real estate, get into an investment property. Even if it is that you're not willing to go by yourself, you can get a group of people together and y'all put money towards that. And then it could end up being an Airbnb or it could end up be something that you have for, you know, long-term rental purposes. But the point is that when you're investing in money, you're investing your money is that it's making you money. So you're investing in things that could make money for you, investing in machine. Let's say that you want to print t-shirts, so you invest in a machine that allows you to print the designs and those different things. So that's what I'm talking about in terms of investing.
Now, you just outlined some positives for us. So are there any negatives in terms of getting into a side hustle or investments? And how can persons kind of prepare themselves or manage with these negatives?
So with the investing in shares, especially, you have to remember that financial markets are governed by behavior. What do I mean by that? Let's say there's a national crisis or something happens, and or something happens with a particular company, and you get bad news about something. People are going to panic and they're going to sell, yeah, and therefore the share price is going to go down. But if something good happens and the company does something great or introduces something new, like Apple, for example, they're always issuing new phones, right? So then you know what? Everybody's like, okay, I need to get an investment here. So people are satisfied with what it is that they're doing. They're dazzled by it, and then the share price is going to go up. But the thing is that you want to be very careful and cautious about those investments that you do not understand. If you do not understand how it works, do not get it. If, let's say, for example, crypto is kind of volatile, so the price can go really, really, really high, and then there's a period of time that it can go really down and crash, and you can lose a lot of money. So you just want to be careful with respect to investing. But even in investing in shares and mutual funds, it's for the long term. So you don't want to panic and say, I'm going to sell now, right? And then you miss on the opportunity when the price does eventually go back up, and then you end up receiving a nice profit, a nice return, okay? And even with business, with side hustles, it can be unpredictable, especially at the beginning. You may not make a lot of money in the beginning, all right? So it's something that you have to work with over the long term, because you now have to put money towards, you know, signage, letting people know this is what you're about and what it is that you're doing. And even with that, customer service is really important, and your credibility and integrity is important as well, too. But even if certain things don't take off at once, you don't want to give up. So I would say, just because you have a side hustle, that doesn't mean you go over it right away, because it's not really making a lot of income at that point in time. But even while you are working your job, you can work the side hustle. You might be able to do it on evenings. You may be able to do it over the weekend. But I strongly caution, make sure that it is really up and running and that your systems are in place and it's making a lot of money that you can easily transition. But even then, you want to make sure that you actually have savings set aside for emergency, just in case, you know, because life happens. Things don't go according to plan. But that's what I would say in terms of the ups and downs of it.
And lastly, with the tools that you gave us for navigating our 20s, what are some of the principles that we can utilize in our 30s and our 40s and our 50s and beyond?
And so the thing is, with dynamic financial planning, every life stage is going to be different. Not everybody is going to go through a life stage where you're single, you're engaged, you're married, have kids, and those different things. Everybody is different. Not everybody's going to get married in their 20s. Not everybody's going to get married in their 30s. All right. So that's one perspective. But yes, you do want to have a dynamic financial plan for those different stages in your life. But in terms of your 30s, 40s, and 50s, the 20s, you can afford to take some risks because you have a lot of time on your hands. But then when you get to your 30s, well, then the risk is kind of going to change because by then probably you'll be married, you have kids. You can't really take that much big of a risk. But really and truly at that point, you want to solidify on retirement. Even in your 20s, you want to start planning for retirement. Because if you don't put the money down for retirement, no, you're stealing money from your future self. Mm-hmm. So you do not want to be like an old woman that I read in the article who's eating dog food to live and to survive. Yes, it's an actual factual story, right? So you want to make sure that you start planning for retirement. And then even in your 40s, and that's where you need to take into consideration your medical care, because more often than not, you really do need to be doing critical, when I say critical, important, not as in like training, but important tests. Even in my 40s, I don't look it, I know. Even in my 40s, I personally have to make sure I have these medical checkups. So you want to make sure that your health insurance, you know, is secure and that you're paying it monthly. And then in your 50s, well, definitely we need to ramp up in terms of your retirement planning, but you can't take that big risk at that time. So you're not going to say, let's say you save $20,000 and then you put in something and then you lose money. You don't necessarily have a lot of time to plan for your retirement. And then even in your 60s, even if you're an entrepreneur, in terms of you may not necessarily be working in the business, but then you like become a consultant or a best-selling author, which is my goal, of course. You know, that sort of thing. So you'll be well known, you have wisdom and understanding, so you could really provide a consultancy releasing that wisdom. So again, I don't like to paint everybody with the same brush when it comes to financial planning. Everybody has their different ideas, goals, ambitions, and desires. So I tend to work with people where they're at and make sure that they have a plan that works for them and that is suitable for them. But also not veering away from the principles, which are really, really important. But I really do think that dynamic financial planning is the way to go, because you need to be able to handle life changes. You might end up divorced, or you might become a widow, or you might lose a child. I mean, those things are really important to plan for.
I love the point that you made when you said it is important to plan for your retirement in your 30s, because a lot of persons think that planning for your retirement is for like the older people. And I think that's very important to prepare now instead of regretting it later on.
I agree. Again, you're safeguarding your future. And as much as possible, you may not want to be a financial burden to your dependents, because we're going to get very young in the very distant future, right? But at the end of the day, not to sound morbid, but you need to make sure that your finances are in order. What type of legacy, what type of financial legacy are you leaving? Do you want to leave a legacy burdened in debt, or do you want to leave a debt-free legacy and that you're able to take care of your final expenses? But not just your final expenses, but that you're able to pass down generational wealth to the next generation, because the habits that you implement today could, you know, affect or determine the trajectory of your next generation. So it's important to be responsible now.
Thank you, Melinda, so much for joining us here today and for reminding us about the importance of managing our finances.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you as well. Thank you for watching this episode of the Nationwide Podcast, sponsored by the City of Bridgetown Cooperative Credit Union Limited.